to lay down on mine tonight, just between me and you, just between us. But I'm a ways away from that right now. And also, the bed store is offering potential franchise opportunities in other markets. So if you'd like to be your own boss, it's a job where dreams are made of. You see what I mean? It's a job where dreams are made of. Don't try this at home. Get more information online at bedstore.com. And if you're still listening to us by your bedside tonight, I want to apologize to all the ladies out there this evening. Ladies, I do want to say I'm trying to be in as smooth as voice as possible so as to, shall we say, be smooth this evening, because we're generally not up this late. As it is right now, by my count, 1:44 Eastern Time, and all lines are currently jammed. Other than that, not really a lot going on. Tennessee tonight takes it on the chin, but does so in a gallant manner as the Vols fall to a rather loud Oklahoma team. By the way, speaking of loud, and Reed Carringer's there on site, Tennessee sold out their allotment of tickets, 5,000 plus. There were 5,000 tickets sold, and then more Tennessee fans were in the building tonight. A tremendous showing from a fan base that has had very little to cheer about for the better part of close to a decade now.
Wish they could have taken the band down there with them.
Well, come on, Russell.
God, we're nitpicking, you know.
No, it's a threat. It's a disgrace that the band wasn't there.
Hey, Tony, how about this? Tennessee, I don't know if this means anything or not in the grand scheme of things, but I'd just like to point out that Tennessee, after losing the coin toss tonight, has now lost 9 coin tosses in a row.
Who's determining the coin toss? The replay official? Reed Carringer, welcome in, my friend. RockyTopInsider.com. How you doing, brother?
Hey, they've got those Big 12 coins, I think. They're flipping every game out here. I'm doing well. Just packed up, left the stadium, getting ready to head back to Oklahoma City from Norman. But I wanted to echo what you said about the Vol fans. They took over a hotel in Oklahoma City. They were all over the local gaming establishment that I visited last night, and they were all over campus today. So a very, very impressive showing from the Tennessee volunteer fans.
And I think that's just an amazing thing. I mean, here's the thing about that trip to Norman, and I'm one of those people that said buy out, because I wanted to win tonight. But then as I got to thinking about it, and you're where we are as a program, you know where you are.
Uh-oh.
Why not give people a trip?
You're finally coming off it?
Well, I just, the concept of now we're going to have an opportunity to play them here next year. I personally would rather be 3-0 right now, but I get all those people that said, hey, we want to make this trip. We haven't played these guys in 50 years. Let's make the trip. But, Reed, as we do with all our guests here, you join us via the OnStar. I'm sorry, that's the wrong network. As we do with all our guests here, Reed, I want to begin by giving you an opportunity to give me a few words about tonight's game.
Yeah, I thought it really went about like I thought it would go, Tony. I think when we discussed it some last week, that front seven for Oklahoma is just really, really good. You saw Tennessee's young and kind of patchwork offensive line really struggle with that. I thought OU's front seven was going to be the difference in this game, and I really think they ended up being that. So I think it went about how we thought. You know, I will say, if you want to be positive about it, Tennessee's defense probably played a little better game than I expected tonight. D-line fought against a really good and a really big Oklahoma offensive front, and I thought that the Tennessee speed on defense really bothered Oklahoma at times, so they got away with quite a bit of holding out there on the field. And then I thought the Vols played with maybe even a little more heart than I expected. I thought they'd fight till the end, but given just how much Worley was getting clobbered, given how outmatched they were just on that side of the ball, I thought they the effort was absolutely there. Execution wasn't, but from an effort level, definitely an improvement.
And the one thing we've keyed on, and I know you kind of listen to us sometimes when you're doing what you're doing, but the thing that we've the one thing that a lot of folks are bringing up is the decision to empty the backfield there on the goal line when it's a 17-point game. Reed, for the life of me, and I'm not going to beat on that offensive coordinator because, as Russell said earlier, it's like having a spork in your hand when the other guy's got a machine gun. But the truth is, you don't help yourself when you do things like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was an awful call, and I was sitting there with next to Danny Parker, actually on the field. I know you have on quite a bit on your show, Tony, and we turned to each other and said, "What are they doing?" You know, what are they doing in that situation? You're 6 feet away from scoring right there. You're 6 feet away from making that wide. It would have been a 27-17 game, and you're all of a sudden right back in it, and you empty the backfield when you actually been running pretty well for once in the football game. I don't know what they were doing. And then Worley forced it. I mean, just awful throw. They couldn't keep Worley off his backside anyway. So that was one of the worst calls, probably the worst call of the game, and one of the worst calls that I've seen from that staff in a long time.
And that's fair. It's people are going to say you guys are being nitpicky, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what?
It's a 14-point decision.
You got to be, though. You got to have a goal, man.
It's a 14-point decision. Here and
we're not Kentucky. Oh, we came so close.
It's a 14-point decision, and that is so well put. It's a 10-point game with 12 minutes left. Let's go to the phones. And by the way, I want to remind you, tonight's action presented by our friends at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics and also Smartway, and I thank both of them for bringing tonight's action to you as we are commercial break free. And Russell and Reed will tell you, as they've done a lot of radio through the years, when you do a commercial free hour of radio, it is incredibly taxing. We're 2+ hours into this thing right now, and it's a little draining. So I cannot, what happens in the next 45 minutes will not and cannot be held against me in a court of law. As we get ready to go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. T-Carp is up next with us. Hello, sir, and welcome. You've got Reed Carringer with Rocky Top Insider, along with Russell Smith, 94.3 FM in Knoxville, The Drive, 3 to 6 in the afternoon. And I'm Tony Basilio. You can hear me from 11 Eastern till 1 p.m. Eastern each weekday right here on this app channel. Hello, sir, and welcome.
Hello. I've never heard of I've never heard of Reed Carringer before in my life. I'm just kidding, Reed. How are you doing, bud?
Hey, doing great, T-Car. Good to hear from you as always.
Hey, you too, brother. All right, guys. I'm going to kind of echo a lot of things. I'm going to stick to more positive than I am negative. One thing I want to talk about is, you know, we had so many freshmen versus their seniors. I don't know about you guys, but I was stronger at 22 than I was at 18, just period. You know, and that's what we had. I thought our guys played. Their effort was incredible. Defense for me, again, played out of their minds. They never gave up. I was very, very impressed with how they played. I mean, with the Dooley years, I mean, we had guys just giving up, and that's all we kept saying was, well, if they just wouldn't give up, if they wouldn't give up. Well, guys, they didn't give up tonight, and I was very, very proud of them. You know, horrible call on the goal line. But we've been harping on that for 2 hours. Not going to harp on it anymore. Bad call. I think you had a young team, and I'm going to call it like I said. I still think it's a young coaching staff that's still learning what to do in certain situations. And again, offensive line, I think, again, your best, you know, I said last week, I think your offensive line is the best they can do is about a 7.5. I'm going to downgrade that to about a 6.5, 7. And that's the best they can do right now because they just don't know. They haven't been in the system long enough for them to know each other, know what other teams are doing, know what other teams are throwing at them. What do you guys think?
I think that's an excellent phone call, and I think all your touch points are right on time, man. I think that is a great phone call, and you know, you do a program like this, especially these post-game deals, you're going to belabor some things. But reality is this coaching staff, just like this football team, is learning. And they are growing on the job. And this is a work in progress. And a lot of things for Butch Jones and his staff that worked at Cincinnati are not going to work at this level. Some of them are. And you and then with this team, you're kind of trying to find your way. I think the team took a step forward tonight, T-Carp. Russell and Reed, what do you guys think?
I think the defense definitely took a step forward. I did not expect them to come out, and I mean, they effectively held Oklahoma to 27 points, you know, giving up that pick six there was on the offense. But I thought the defense played better than I expected. I think they took a step forward. Then the offense, to your point, T-Carp, and to yours, Tony, I think a lot of what worked at Cincy isn't working here. A lot of what worked last year isn't going to work this year. But we've seen that with the run game. So they've had to do some different things. I did think, you know, with the exception of that goal line call, it wasn't a horribly called game from my perspective on the field. Like you said, Russell, and I missed it earlier, but it's like being given a spork and told to, you know, dig out an in-ground pool or something. It's just they don't have the tools there right now on that offensive line to do much. And T-Carp, you nailed it. It's not going to turn around this year. It's not going to turn around. They're not just going to click. They're not going to gel. No matter who they put up there, you're not going to get a lot better product than you've got right now. It's just it's reality. And ball fans are going to have to get used to that. The coaching staff's going to have to get used to that and figure out a way to win four more football games.
And before I head off, I do want to say that even with this loss, I still look at the SEC East and I say, hey, we have got a good chance to blow that, to blow it up. I really think we do. We can surprise some people with the way our defense is playing. If we can find some sort of way to get Worley some more time to where he doesn't have to throw off his back foot, because I think he makes bad throws off his back foot. If he can step up, oh my goodness, he's fantastic when he can step up. But back, if he's throwing off his back foot, throwing quickly, I think you see kind of that Worley that we've seen in the past. If he can step up, I mean, I think he's done a very good job of being extremely accurate when he's able to do that. If we can find some time for him, we can do some great things in the SEC East this year and surprise some people. Guys, thank you so much. Russell, Reed, Tony, good night.
Hey, thank you, man. Great talking to you. I think you're right. I think this team has a couple of tricks up its sleeve, Reed. I really do. I mean, I think what you see is what you get. Florida does not scare me. Georgia is a very interesting game for Tennessee right now because that game's going to be in front of them. They don't do anything that's really all that marvelous. Now, they could grind you into submission, but I kind of like to see our defense against them the way our defense is running right now. Those two games do not scare me the way tonight's game did. Tonight's game scared me from the standpoint of the fact that you were outweighed 50 pounds across the front. That's just insane. Am I wrong in saying that?
No, I put this game in the preseason. I ranked Tennessee's games from easiest to toughest for the side, and I put this one as the hardest game on the schedule, harder than Alabama, harder than Georgia, harder than South Carolina, just because I think, one, you're playing a top 10 team on the road. Tennessee struggled in that scenario in the last decade or so. So, yeah, I think when you line up, when you look at what Georgia does, they lost today. South Carolina found a way to beat them. It was good. That's good for Tennessee. The more parity in the SEC East. You want that to get to T-Carp's point. But I think, well, you're right. Georgia's going to have a bland offense. Their passing game leaves a lot to be desired. You know what they're going to do. They're going to give you a healthy dose of Todd Gurley, and you're going to have to try to stop them. And I like what Tennessee was able to do in that situation last year against the Georgia and the South Carolina when they really, the coaching staff, out-game-planned both of those. So I don't think either one of those games really should scare you. And then Florida, I didn't get to see that one because I was down there on the field shooting the game, but I don't think Tennessee's going to be intimidated in that one either. So I think I like where this team is from a mental aspect heading into kind of the meat of the schedule. I don't think they're going to back down from any of those opponents.
Wherever you are listening to us around the world, rest assured tonight, I kept an eye on that Florida game on our split screen in the cave where we watch our film on Wednesdays, and I got to tell you, Florida does. I'm going to tell you right now, they got lucky with Kentucky on their home field tonight. In fact, Russell said it earlier, they had a penalty for delay of the game in the first overtime that should have been called right before a...
It was fourth and goal from the 7 or 8 yard
catch.
Line.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fourth and goal. That's exactly
right.
Yeah,
and it would have been, they would have had another chance, but it would have been fourth and goal from about the 12.
Yes. And this is a team that was having a lot of trouble moving the football. Driscoll is a nightmare at quarterback for them. They are slogging around on offense. They are a mess.
They do have one receiver, DeMarcus Robinson. They finally had a receiver step up over 200 yards tonight.
But Russell, they had two or three plays tonight. They had a ball that should have been intercepted that bound off of a Kentucky defensive back.
There's no excuse for them.
Robinson's
hands. As much talent as they have to look as bad as they do.
They were slogging around. And we've seen that here at the end of regimes when teams slog around and play down the people. Florida, Tennessee will have an opportunity to put them away in Neyland Stadium. I believe that. I wholeheartedly believe that. Let's go back to the phones. Reed Carringer is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He is with RockyTopInsider.com. And Reed, it's only 2 o'clock in the morning, so you go ahead and beat on me, Reed, if you want to. But it's only 2 in the morning. Smart Way, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter.
Reed's
got
to get back to that gaming establishment before they close.
Yes, he needs to. Hello, who's on the line with us? Hello, welcome.
Henry from Memphis.
Hey, Henry, I appreciate you being there in beautiful Memphis. Hello.
Hey, how are y'all? Well, two quick points. I was in Oregon last year, and at that game, we never got to a third down situation on defense. They always had a first down or a touchdown. And if you look at this game tonight, we had third down virtually every down against Oklahoma. So that's one thing that's so encouraging. We didn't always hold them. I mean, they had a lot of third and 11, 12 that they got, but I mean, that is very encouraging to me. If you look at 2 years ago, our defense, we couldn't do anything. Last year was the same situation. And I just hope that this is not an aberration like the South Carolina game was last year. Everybody got a lot of hopes up after the South Carolina game, and then everybody hung 40-plus on us. I just hope that's the case. I mean, I'm a big fan, and what do y'all think?
I think you're right. I think you're right on every account, and I don't think there's any way in the world that this defense isn't better. Now, Reed, correct me if I'm wrong, 5 true freshmen started tonight.
I think that, oh man, that sounds right. And that's insane when you think of how many that they've played. That's just insane, Tony. I didn't have a grasp on that whole number. And I think they're playing really well. I mean, you've seen, one thing that's impressed me, one penalty tonight for the Vols. One penalty when you're playing that many freshmen. That just goes to show you, I think, we may disagree on play calls. We may disagree on some personnel at times and how they use it. But it's a well-coached, it's a disciplined football team. Despite the youth across the board, and I don't think it's going to be an aberration. I really don't. I think this defense is just better. It's better at nearly every spot. I really think if you look at this whole team as a whole, every unit on this team is better this year on offense and defense, except the offensive line. And so that to me is a team that's trending in the right direction from both a talent perspective and an execution perspective. So I think they'll take this, they'll grow and if they can go down there and give Georgia a heck of a game and then come back, and I'm with you, Tony. I think they've got a great shot to end the losing streak to Florida and give Will Muschamp a stink slip.
No question. And that will be a loser-leaves-town match. Henry, continue. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, am I right? Did y'all notice a lot of third-down plays?
Oh, absolutely.
Against Oklahoma?
That was the deal. There's no question.
Yeah.
Tennessee stretched them tonight. There's no doubt. And Tennessee was extremely physical with them. Usually when a team gets, quote-unquote, blown out in a game, they're not an aggressor on defense. Tennessee tonight was not an opponent out there this evening. They gave that team a dead level shot defensively and held them to 7 points in the second half. And Bob Stoops, I guarantee you, when he breaks that film down, is not going to be happy about the way his kids, especially at quarterback, You know, he kind of slipped in the second half a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really an interesting football game, because if Tennessee scores, I hate to belabor this again, if they do what they should have done, which is to say give that ball to Hurd on the goal line, or at least make it look like they could have done that, and you get that thing to 10 with 12 minutes left, we've seen stranger things happen.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like you said, all you have to do is run it twice. Even if you don't make it, who knows? They might fumble the ball.
Exactly.
If they get it back, or turnover, or they have to punt, or anything can happen.
Anything.
Thank
what
you
we
guys.
Did was unsound.
Enjoy your show.
Thank you, Henry. Great talking to you. And by the way, if you want to get in with us, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. My hired help for the morning has left me. So we have our line here on auto attendant. And so if you want to jump on with us, you'll be locked in. You'll know you're locked in as you call a show. And 865-200-5402 is our number. As I want to thank my friends at Smartway, I'm going to encourage you to go online and check them out at gosmartway.net. Everything for your home where you'll pay your way. Be smart, buy smart, do it the smart way. And I think Tennessee, by and large tonight, guys, I think they did a lot of things the smart way. There's always going to be things you can nitpick after a game like this, but there's a lot to be proud of for the way Tennessee played on this evening. As we go back to the phones, and Big Orange Butch is up next with us. Big Orange Butch, hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling. You've got Reed Carringer and Russell.
I know it's always tough to follow Reed. You know, I've been a big fan of his for so many years.
Hey,
can we, first of all, I'd like to start with saying, can we not run the inside reverse to Big Howard for the next 55 years?
Oh, my gosh, please. That is so true. If I never see that again, oh, that is just the worst play in the world.
Why do we keep doing that? Tell me that. Why do we keep doing that?
Because it's in the playbook. And here's the thing. They script the first some games they script the first 20. I don't know how many they scripted. But, Reed, they had a chance to think about that. That's a scripted play they started the game with. Would you guys tell me what they're thinking that's going to happen against Oklahoma? What's the thought there, Reed?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it might work against Utah State. It might work against Arkansas State.
It didn't work last year.
But it just does not work against teams that have comparable talent to you. It just doesn't. So I think I'm with you. You got to get that out of the playbook for the foreseeable future until you really outclass an opponent.
Russell, you know what that looks like to me? That looks like Pig Howard didn't do something this week in practice they wanted him to do. So we're going to punish you. We're going to let you run this play. We're going to let you run this play, and you're going to lose 3 yards to start the game, and you're going to take a shot in the process, because that's what that play does.
They want to run the jet sweep a lot, and they want to get the ball into Pig's hand. And to be honest, I mean, it was successful against Georgia last year. He ran for a touchdown
South Carolina
earlier this year, but you just can't run horizontally against a team as fast as Oklahoma. And, you know, they tried it once, and you're like, okay, well, that was probably dumb, but surely they won't do it again. And they went back to a couple of more horizontal plays over the course of the game. That was tremendously frustrating.
Butch is like, please don't, but don't call me Shirley.
That's exactly right. Yep, that's exactly right.
But, you know, that first series we had, I mean, it took 15 seconds to run three down. I mean, it just started off bad. And we needed to come out there and take their first punch. And we didn't. And, I mean, we fought hard. I thought, you know, tonight, all I wanted tonight was to compete for four quarters, because I think Butch has them, but they've bought into Butch's system and his mindset and the family atmosphere, and we're good there. But I don't know. There's just so many there's fine tuning that that needs to be done quick. Or 6-6 isn't going to happen. And that inside reverse is killing me.
They do. On offense, there's definitely, I don't want to use the term wasted plays, but there's some things they ought to revisit in light of what this football team has. That is one of them. I agree with that. That just takes way too long, especially against the SEC caliber of athlete, which is what Oklahoma possesses. Oklahoma possesses an SEC West type of defense.
Well, and not to make excuses, but you got to also keep in mind, we've talked about the offensive line thing ad nauseum, so that's got to handcuff Bajakian a little bit.
Sure it does.
You lose Pearson, who's a huge part of your game plan. You lose Wolf, who's a huge part of your game plan.
Yeah.
So it's got to be hard to put in, you know, a new offensive game plan against this opponent in a week with all those things going on.
Poor Worley.
I'm glad you brought that up. I kind of disagree
because if you're worried about the defensive line that we are overmatched there against our offensive line. So why run a play that takes 4.5 seconds to run when we run 4+ wide receivers, we're close to not being stopped. And running that handoff, I don't know what it's called, but when Worley does the delayed handoff, but hands it off and doesn't, and then he runs away free. I mean, let's have him keep it and go opposite, misdirection. I feel like we could run more, we could gain more yards on that, but everything that we've been doing is so telegraphed. But, and AJ dropping back into coverage is killing us. He's not fast enough to cover receivers, but our defense, tonight our defensive line looked great. I was very surprised with our defense. I think TK Jr. is our next phenom. I mean, that may be big words right now, but man, he's a football player. And, our next year looks good. It really does. I mean, quarterbacks will be our question mark next year, but, I don't know. I'm not disappointed with our game tonight. I think, I hate blaming refs, but I think the refs made some bad calls and a lot of no calls and holding and, pass interference, but, I mean, and I think Matt Darr played a horrible game. I think we need a punter that can flip the field. And, cause when we start playing SEC ball, we're going to need that, but it is what it is. I mean, I'm not disappointed with the game. I think we played hard. I think we competed for four quarters, which we haven't seen in 5 or 6 or 5 years. But, I think we're close. I think we're on the verge. I think Hurd's on the verge of breaking one. I think, North's on the verge of getting a big ball. I think, Worley's fine. I think would give him time. He steps up, he eludes pressure, and he makes the right throw, but we're just not getting it. North dropped 2 first balls that we haven't seen him do that in his first 2 years. He's got the biggest hands in the NCAA, but he dropped those first 2 balls. They were a little off, off thrown, but I think we're close. And I think Florida's going to be, I think we'll compete with Florida very well. I think we'll win. I think at South Carolina's going to be tough. I think Georgia's going to be a tough game, but, Missouri's going to be good. Chattanooga's a win. Kentucky's going to be probably a win. And Vandy sucks.
Vandy is absolutely awful. Kentucky goes back into the questionable column for me after seeing them the last couple weeks.
I agree with you.
They're much improved.
Kentucky, but, we just got to be up for that game. That goes back to what I said at first was I think this team has bought into Butch, and we'll get up for game. I'm not worried about that.
We compete. That's all we can ask. Hey, I hope you have a great night. Thank you for staying with us. And I really appreciate you being there. Reed, you were wanting to jump in with the exchange with Russell a second ago. Get back to it.
Yeah, I'm glad Russell brought up the fact that Pearson and Wolf were out. Because you saw an offense tonight that, not coincidentally, did not target the tight end once. And the tight ends did not have any production.
Yeah.
Wolf's a big part of this offense. He really is. And he's a big part from the blocking scheme, too. Because they can use him to help his inexperienced tackles. He's a much better blocker than I think he gets credit for. Sprung Jalen Hurd, touchdown run last week. Not having him on the edge, I'm not saying keep running the jet sweep. That hurts that play call a lot, too, because he's able to kind of steal that edge and let those playmakers get to the outside a little better. And then not having Pearson tonight was big. And they got it. Josh Smith got injured. He got on the bus and on crutches. So that's not good for the Vols if the next, if those three aren't able to go for the Georgia game, you're missing 3 of your top 5 receivers. I don't think that'll be the case, but they need to get those guys healthy.
Yeah, it's tough with Josh Smith getting hurt. Had not heard about that. Reed, is there any speculation on what that injury could be?
No, I'm not sure. I don't know if it was a ankle, a leg, a hamstring, or quad, or it was something to do with his just a leg injury. And I didn't get to ask anybody about it. Just saw him hobbling around there right as we got ready to leave. So that's not good. He's their leading pass catcher in terms of yards per catch this season. You know, had the big touchdown today. I think he's an underrated part of this offense. And then if he misses any significant time, with Pearson looking like he's going to be out, I think, at least a couple more weeks, that's big for this offense. So we'll see. I hope we find out something in the next couple days. Big day for Josh Smith otherwise, though.
Oh, no question. Did any other injuries?
I think that was it. That's
remarkable.
I mean, there's speculation. I know that Worley might have had a concussion. I would not be surprised if he did.
He hit his head on the ground really hard. There was a stat ESPN put out. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Worley was hurried, knocked down, or sacked on 40% of his dropbacks tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
So basically every other play, he's getting hit. He took a beating. Off week comes at a really good time, I'll say that.
Boy, that's a truth. Hey, Reed, really appreciate all the great work you do. Man, thank you so much for staying with us and for being a contributor and for all that you're contributing to the marketplace. Really appreciate you being there. And you can check out Reed's work and the gang over there at RockyTopInsider.com. And wrap it up for me, Reed. Give me a closing couple of comments as we do with all our VIPs.
Yeah, I want to talk about just the coaching staff. You know, I'm not a coaching staff apologist, not a Butch Jones apologist, anything like that. But I don't really think we can talk about a few calls. I don't really think they got out coached today. I especially think the defensive game plan was really good for the weapons that Oklahoma had, and I think they proved last year in those Georgia South Carolina games that when they've got, you know, some of their weapons there, that they can coach with the best of them in conference. And I didn't think Tennessee walked in there tonight and got out coached, despite the questionable decisions at times. I think Oklahoma had several questionable decisions as well. So I think Tennessee really, like you said, Tony, earlier, took a step forward in a lot of areas. That front seven for Oklahoma is very good. I don't know that Tennessee's offensive line will struggle as much at Georgia coming up, especially if they can get Wolf back as they did this week. So maybe they can get things rolling a little bit. And last thing for me, Tony, is Jalen Hurd. What about him? He's improved every single game. He's starting to look like a five-star. As a true freshman, going up against a top-10 defense, a defense loaded with NFL players, without getting really any blocking, put up almost 100 yards on the ground, had 24 through the air, averaged 7 yards a carry, had a couple big runs. I think you've seen him take a step forward in every game, and that's a fantastic sign for this offense and this team, not only this year, but the next couple of years to come.
Couldn't agree more. Hope you have a great morning. Have a good, safe trip back to Knoxville.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Reed Carringer, we appreciate his input this evening. If you want to get in with us, 865-200-5402. As now we go live, let me hit the reset button here, remind you what it is exactly that you're listening to this morning.
It's time for another hour of power on today's game. It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction, where you are the star of the postgame. Presented without commercial interruption. The lines are open now. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. And now, it's time to get to your host, Tony Basilio.
What do you think of Mashburn there? What do you think of Mashburn's work there, big boy?
It's a blast from the past. Solid production.
Remember Mashburn?
As David Lee Roth would say, it's a stellar production.
And how about those Pittsburgh Stellars? They showed, didn't they, on Thursday night? Let's bring the great Jerry Colquitt in here without further ado. For those of you not familiar, Jerry joins us on the Daily Show at TonyBasilio.com from FEMA Quadrant 10. Generally breaks it down on Thursdays. He's our former Vol. Also, of course, coached at Tennessee. Coached with David Cutcliffe at Ole Miss. Coached with Mike Holmgren in Seattle for a while. And currently lives in Seattle. Keeps his eyes and ears on the college game. Breaks a bunch of video down for me at TonyBasilio.com. Joins us on our film study sessions that we've been doing on Wednesdays. And Jerry, via Skype, the other day, told me, he said, man, this, he told us, in fact, that night, this is going to be a very difficult matchup for Tennessee. And Jerry, it proved to be the case. But before I ask you a question here, give me a thought or two, if you will.
Yeah. In terms of defensively, Tony, I thought that I thought it brought its A game in terms of the scheme needed in order for them to go out and compete tonight. You know, we talked, I think was yesterday, the day before, Thursday, Friday, that, you know, if Tennessee were to go out and make this a contest, when it had to make Trevor Knight become uncomfortable and not allow him to get in a rhythm and get those balls, to those wide receivers downfield. So I was very happy to see, especially, I mean, you could see it the first couple of drives. Jancic, I thought he really was trying to be aggressive and come after those guys and throw that offense out of rhythm. So I thought you could see it. The thing defensively, I just think we're probably an end or two away from really matching the rest of that talent. I think you can see the effort is there. Guys are flying around. We're athletic in some spots, but we just don't have a guy who can just go get a sack. I like our interior guys in Barnett, Williams, number 54, those guys. But I think we're still a little bit deficient is just being able to just go, hey, little, go get me a sack. Hey, Stryker, go get me a sack. That's what we're lacking, I thought, tonight. Offensively, Tony, I was really disappointed in what I saw schematically from the offensive staff, and here's why. I thought the thing about it is you cannot go into a game when you already know what the other opponent's biggest asset is when you have, you know, weeks to prepare for it. And we knew going in, 11 personnel, one back, one tight end. If you put that personnel out on the field, they're going to substitute. They're going to come out of their base defense, their 3-4. They're going to go to their nickel defense. And what happens is, in their nickel defense, that's when Stryker goes from an outside linebacker to a defensive end. Now that guy, who can wreak havoc as a pass rusher, that guy is going against our tight ends who have shown as of recent they have trouble pass protecting. Also, you have that guy going against some of these young offensive linemen. So the disappointing part to me is I felt like we made those guys on their defense look 10 times better than what we had to. So between offensively and defense, I thought they did what they about as good as they could, and I thought they were able to make them stagnant. Offensively, we just it was unacceptable to me to see what I was seeing.
Wow! So you didn't like the scheme?
No, I didn't. And I think I heard a few times too. Some of the guys were saying how Worley hadn't seen the blitz as well. I don't know if you guys have recognized over the past couple years, but this group, anyways, the Butch Jones group, quarterback doesn't run the show at the line of scrimmage. It is all from the sideline. The offensive line, they're the ones that manipulates the pass protection. So it it's kind of one of those where it's an offense where it's a call it and run it. You know, you're not going to see the quarterback up there changing protections, audibly, and so on and so forth. So I did catch that during the course of this game because I saw the same thing, and it came back to me, hey, is that they don't allow the quarterback to do a whole lot at the line of scrimmage. So to me, it was just one of those where I just feel like we were ill-prepared going in schematically and didn't adjust throughout the course of the game. So I almost feel, in a way, we made that thing worse, and Worley unnecessarily took way too many hits.
Well, you heard Russell's number. Russell, what was the number again that ESPN reported, which is just unprecedented in my memory for a Tennessee quarterback to take a beating like this?
40% of his dropbacks, he was hurried, knocked down, or sacked.
I mean, here's another thing, Tony.
Go ahead.
Tony, let me ask you this. Okay, if you're the coordinator and you're the head coach going into this game, if you know by going 11 personnel, and that's going to put Stryker at defensive end, are you going to stay in 11 personnel? Are you going to go with the bigger personnel that's going to put them in their base defense, their 3-4? Now they're just going to line up and play football, which if you can get them to do that, then I think Tennessee's got a chance. But I almost feel like the way Tennessee came into this game.
What were the adjustments? What would you have liked to have seen?
I think if you go with a different personnel group, you get a totally different thing.
Meaning what? Be more specific. It's 2:30 Eastern to me. I know you're just getting your night underway out there on the left coast, out there in quadrant 10. But
yeah,
it's getting a little late here for me. So speak English.
Yeah. Well, if you put normal people out there, remember Tennessee plays with one tight end and three wide receivers pretty much the whole game. It'd be like the equivalent of a three-guard offense in basketball. But when you do that defensively, now you're playing against the other team's nickel defense. Okay, if we played with bigger personnel on the field, or with a fullback, or with two tight ends out there and one back, now they're not going to put their nickel defense and get blown off the ball when we have bigger personnel out on the field. So it's almost like we were inviting all the blitzes, the mismatches at defensive end versus offensive tackle all night by virtue of the personnel group that we decided to play pretty much the whole game.
So your point is coming into that game, because you told us this Wednesday, if Tennessee doesn't move out of their base offense, you said something interesting Wednesday, and Sean Sinclair said something really interesting Wednesday. You said on the offensive side of things, if we don't approach this a little differently, we're going to let this Stryker guy get into his sweet spot, and they're going to be able to move him around and punish us at will, which is what they did, essentially. So I give you a star for that. And it came to be, and I was just trying to drag it out of you in plain English because I wanted you to – you wanted to see it like a two tight end set. See, I think Wolf's loss in this game tonight was gigantic because I'm not so sure Tennessee wouldn't have done that if given the opportunity. Because, Russell, didn't we also tonight – we saw them try and give the quarterback at times some help. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we at times see with Tennessee, they used Alex Ellis as an H-back at times tonight?
That's a different
wrinkle.
Yeah, they had three guys in there, but with different degrees of success.
Well, yeah, I mean, they at least, but from the outset, Jerry's point is right. I mean, they kind of went with their three deal, and they started the game, and they got that first play out of the way, the what I call punishment for Pig Howard. They're punishing him for something, giving him the ball there on that play, which is how they started the South Carolina game last year. They ran a little wide play and
see if Brent Downs can block Clowney.
Yeah, Clowney came up and just decapitated somebody.
yet in the Florida game, remember too, with Peterman, they ran that play that took forever to develop.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you get somebody disrupting it in the backfield. Boom, you get the fumble.
Yep.
And there you go. So kind of the same deal.
But it is interesting how their decision, the way they approached it, invited Stryker to utilize. Because your point is, if you stay in a base offense and you don't spread them out and you don't send them into a nickel or a dime situation, all of a sudden he's got to play in space as a linebacker. It's kind of counterintuitive to what you think it would be, is your point, Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. You got to look at the personnel that they have right now. They have young offensive tackles. You know, we have tight ends who haven't really shown that they can pass block a whole lot. Jalen Hurd is pretty good at it. So if you know that going in, why would you continuously put those guys in a bad spot and continuously, have those hits being put on Worley? Like that's what I mean, where you have to have a plan going in to disallow one man to disrupt what you're doing the whole entire game, and then not even make an adjustment at halftime or somewhere down the line in that game.
I don't know what they could have done though, Jerry. I mean, I just want to let's be fair about it. I don't know what they could have done. The offensive line, people kept saying to me in the preseason, the offensive line can't be as bad as you guys are making it sound in the media. And I kept saying, actually, it might be worse than you think it is. And we saw that tonight.
Oh, we talked about the injuries, too. I mean, Nathan Gilliam wasn't going to be a world beater. He wasn't a pro, but that hurt, too, because there's another guy who knows your system and at least knows what the coaches expect. That allows Kurbison to play.
Yeah, Gilliam, yeah.
You've got much more experience.
You're right about Gilliam. And
that injury probably hurts more than Pearson and Wolf.
Yeah, and it feeds, and this grind just feeds the fire. Jerry, I'm not sure what they could have done tonight. I mean, let's just be and for everything that we're talking about here, man, the kids gave such a tremendous effort that they were a cat's whisker away from any of us several plays. I talked to Jason Swain about 3 hours ago about Kroom. Man, he has got to fight for the ball there in the end zone, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I heard you guys were saying Kroom. I think I texted you during the game. I even added Marquez North in there. The thing that stood out to me is the first 2-3 series, I thought that both of those guys played small. I think North kind of woke up, I think, as the course of the game continued on there. But when you're those guys' size and Justin Worley throws it to you and there's nothing between you and that football but air, and you got a guy on your back, man, you got to use your big body to put them on your back and catch the doggone football. There was at least 3 or 4 times in the first couple drives, on the first third down, as a matter of fact, Worley threw it, I think, with anticipation. The ball was out there. North didn't quite get his head around before the ball was right on, boom. But those guys, they have to catch all of those. They're just too doggone big. I thought Jason Swain was right on, when he made those comments. But, you know, those guys, you know, they were playing like 5'11 wide receivers, I thought, early in the game. But they got to get more out of that, the size. You know, when you're that big, especially, you know, we always talk about it in the matchup aspect. You know, a 5'11 guy, 5'10 corner, versus a 6'3, 6'4 wide receiver down in the red zone or deep ball, he can't cover it. So those guys have to have that mentality. Hey, when I get a deep ball called my way and I got a little corner on me, I'm gonna basketball this guy out of here so I can make this catch.
865-200-5402 is our number. Again, 865-200-5402. As it's the Smart Way, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. We want to hear from you. If you want to get online and talk about today's loss to Oklahoma, or yesterday's loss to Oklahoma, I should say, we've got about 5 or so minutes to go here. If you want to jump in with us tonight and or this morning, pick your poison, depending on where you're listening to us in our world. We just are really glad that you're with us. Jerry Colquitt is in the closer's role here, and we've got a 2-run lead in the ninth inning. I hope he doesn't blow it. Russell, you were making a point to me as we were off microphone during Jerry's comments, and that's when we get down the goal line, what we haven't seen so far, which is sort of mystifying with these big, big wide receivers.
Well, last week they had two touchdowns where they just sort of tossed it up for Marquez North, and he went over there and skied over the defender to get it. Now, I know that's Arkansas State and this is Oklahoma, but they didn't even try it.
You do that. Oh, and today, watching the East Carolina game, they have a kid at wide receiver. And I wish I could remember his name. He's 6'5", just an athletic freak, and they just threw the ball up to him and said to him, hey, I know, Foster, you're a great defensive coordinator, and this is Virginia Tech, and you guys have a couple pros in your secondary, and you got probably one of the premier defensive backs in the country. We are going to throw it right at him. I'm going to throw a jump ball. I'm going to count on him to go to the highest point and get it. And that's exactly what they did. And Jerry, it's I don't think that's asking too much. I don't think that's second guessing either. Do you, Jerry?
No, I mean I think it was a week one, week two. But like you just mentioned there, you saw Marquez North go up and catch a couple of those for touchdowns. So you know, it's definitely something we've seen them execute in the recent past. I know the one play when we got down. They tried to connect on the little hook route there to Marquez North. It's just one of those where it's kind of like their striker. Well, we have to have, those instances even on our side where we have a guy where it's just an instant, mismatch where we go, hey, small corner or red zone, I'm going to Chrome, I'm going to Marquez North, touchdown. It has to be instant like that, and those guys have to start believing in it and thinking in it as well.
Jerry, I think this is a game, and Russell, I think this is a game Tennessee can build on. Am I wrong?
Well, I do believe that in part, I think you're right. The thing about this Tennessee group of kids is these kids will fight. You know, we've seen this now, two seasons going on now. Even some games where I thought they might not necessarily have gotten the help from a scheme standpoint, they didn't care. They just went right out, and they played their hearts out. You saw it last year, second half, Florida, the Georgia game, South Carolina game. I think you're seeing that this year, too. These kids will fight. You got to give tip your hat to them for doing that. You know, they're definitely playing for that T on the side of the helmet.
Jerry, well put by you. Thanks, man, for joining us. God's blessings to you. Who do the Seahawks have tomorrow, today?
They got the Chargers.
Well, that'll be interesting for three quarters, I'm sure, for somebody. Have you a great day, my friend.
All right, Tone. See you.
All right, man. Great Jerry Colquitt. Russell, wrap it up here. Give me a final thought, brother.
Yeah, I think there's plenty to build on here. And, you know, we nitpick a little bit, but I think at the end of the night, you got to be thoroughly encouraged. You know, last year, in a very similar situation, you went out to Oregon and you got embarrassed.
That's exactly right.
They didn't get embarrassed tonight. I don't think you have anything to hang your head about. Now you've got an off week to go and lick your wounds. They've got some injury. You know, hopefully, I think Wolf will probably be back for the Georgia game. Hopefully, the Smith injury is not significant. Hopefully, Pearson continues to heal. But you've got extra time to prepare for Georgia. I think that's a very winnable game. So I think you put this one behind you and you go all in on Georgia and see if you can't go out there and get that signature win.
It'd be amazing. And I'll tell you this, on the way out, I tip my cap to those young men tonight who played absolutely knowing that they were going into a situation. Those kids aren't dumb. They know you play enough football, you get to their age, you look at enough film, you know coming into a game when you're on the short side of something. And I didn't see a lot of quit out there tonight. In fact, I didn't see any. And Russell, we've seen games. We have seen games here where we've seen teams quit, and I did not see those kids at all tonight. I didn't see them take a playoff.
No, I mean,
that's a credit to that staff and to those kids.
So far, the season's gone according to plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, before the season, we were all really worried about that Utah State game. And
yep.
So, a little worried about the Arkansas State game. You won both those games. Nobody gave them a chance against Oklahoma. You lost it. So everything is on schedule.
I would take 2-1 to this point. And projecting ahead, I would take 3-2 all day long after our next two games.
Sure.
I would take a split and take it to the house.
And you got another win against Chattanooga after that. You're 4-2 headed to Ole Miss.
Anything can happen. At that point, Now you're cooking with grease. That Florida game, at the end of the day, is going to be a real doorway game for this program. And they've been building to that game all summer. Last summer, they told those kids, we're getting South Carolina this year in our building.
And that falls.
And this year, it's been the Florida game. They've told those kids, we're getting the Florida game.
And
it's
Florida game. Falls kind of where South Carolina did. Remember, they had the game against Georgia, and then South Carolina, the game is Georgia, and
that's
then
exactly
Florida.
Right. And Florida is getting ready to take an all-time beating at the hands of Alabama this weekend.
And then they'll have an off week to sit there and stew over it.
Yes.
Some people say, well, Florida has the off week before Tennessee.
No.
That's to Tennessee's disadvantage, but they're going to get drilled. People are going to be calling for Muschamp's head, talking about who the replacement is.
Absolutely. It's going to be a complete mess down there. It'll be a feeding frenzy. And it's really a self-fulfilling prophecy. We've been there and done that, and we know what that looks like here.
And meanwhile, Tennessee's playing Georgia, and maybe I'm...
No, you're right.
Maybe I'm off my rock. I think Tennessee can win that game.
You're
if they win that one, I mean, I don't want to get greedy and think 2-0 the next 2 weeks. But
here's the thing about the Georgia series, and Jason Swain said it earlier. Georgia's got a kind of a Cosmo... They've got kind of a weird feeling stadium if you've ever been in there. It's not, it's weird. It's not really that intimidating. It's not Auburn. It's not Florida Field. It's not Neyland Stadium when it's rocking. It's weird.
Well, Tennessee has a mental hurdle to clear in regards to Florida. That is probably the bigger issue rather than just beating them for what they have.
Yep.
They don't have that against Georgia, even though they beat Georgia's beaten Tennessee a couple of years ago.
Yeah, even in Dooley years, they gave them a punch.
Yeah, there's not
so
a real
true.
Feeling that they're in Tennessee's heads the way Florida is.
No. And I'm telling you that these next 2 weeks will be really interesting. I want to thank my friends at Smartway. I want to encourage you to check them out at gosmartway.net. And I want to remind you they're located at 8416 Kingston Pike. And also, go online and check them out. You'll be glad you did. I also want to say a special shout-out to Randy Dalton and Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics right here in beautiful Granger County, Tennessee, right up the road from us, online at daltonhydraulic.com. You'll be glad that you check them out. I mean, they do business worldwide and do a ton of great stuff. Russell, speaking of worldwide, you're worldwide, intergalactic, and infrared and ultraviolet. Great seeing you, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And
is the sun up yet?
By the way, speaking of suns, that's an interesting... Russell and his lovely wife are going to be inducing birth of his son, and that will happen this week, at the end of the week. And Russell, you're in our prayers, man. I'm thrilled for you.
Thanks, man. I'm pretty fired up about it. Hopefully he'll come. Hopefully he'll come before Friday. I can get a couple days off work.
Hey, fatherhood's a great institution. That's right, brother. Fatherhood's a great institution. Savor every moment of it.
You can tell he's a football fan, though, because he's waiting to be. He was supposed to be born earlier, but he's waiting until the off week.
I sure hope he's kicks better than our guys. Hey, we're gonna little cheap shot there. We were enjoying a moment there, and then I throw a little cheap shot out there. Hey, we're gonna start your overnight festivities here at TonyBasilio.com with a little alt country.